Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I hate this place.
Then quit. You should be going to school anyway.
Please, Veronica. Last thing I need at this point is a lecture.
All I'm saying is if you're that unhappy, you should leave.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
You know what's weird is I'm not even supposed to be here today. It's Wendy Snyder, and I'm filling in for Bob Surratt. But I'm super glad I'm here because we're going to talk to filmmaker, actor, author, podcaster, comic book creator. What am I leaving out, Kevin Smith?
Husband? All around pop culture nuisance, I think, would cover it.
It
How
is.
How are you, Wendy?
Oh, my God. I am like a super fan. I'm going to fangirl all over you. I just want to tell you, Clerks, the original Clerks, was such an amazing coming of age movie. Even though I already came and I already went when I saw it, it was just real and raw and unpolished. And it's one of my all time favorite movies. All time.
Let me tell you, Clerks 3, no better. Raw, unpolished. It's been 30 years since I made the first one, but I'm still trying to tell the same story. It also is a coming-of-age story. The surprising thing about this movie, the recent flick, is how emotional everyone's getting.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's a comedy.
I saw it with my whole...
Go ahead.
We saw it with the whole family. I just have to tell you this. I did see Clerks 3 and 2 and Chasing Amy and Mallrats and everything. But Clerks 3, I have a 19, almost 20-year-old son, a 23-year-old son, a husband. We all went. We all cried. It was awesome.
Isn't that nuts? And you went and you cried at a Kevin Smith movie, and not because you were like, he ruined it again. You were like, that was intentional, and he made me feel good. It has become a very emotional experience. Every night I go see it on tour. We've been touring Clerks. Like, it came out through Fathom Events. It's now available at home. You can watch it on digital. But until December 5th, I'll be out on the road with the convenience tour, where I take it from city to city and watch Clerks 3 with the audience. And, you know, for, I would say, 75 of the 90 minutes, it is a laugh fest. And then when you get to the last 15, the final quarter of the film, the last act, it becomes surprisingly emotional for people. Not surprising for me. It's like the ringmaster can't be surprised when he turns around and sees clowns and elephants. I knew what I was doing. But everyone else coming into the theater, they were like, well, I came for, you know, the movie I expected to see, and then you gave me this the emotional journey, this kind of existential crisis of a movie that people walk out of feeling not their age, but where they've been on the journey. It's crazy. Like, it wasn't the intention. I'm no wizard, but...
Oh, yes, you are.
Not at all. When I made the flick, it was all about Dante and Randall, but people have this relationship with the characters going back 30 years. Some people have seen the movie like, oh, I saw it when I was in college with somebody I was dating, and now I'm married to that person. And our whole lives, these movies have been like cultural touchstones. And so when you get to the third act of Clerks 3, it's this emotional catharsis that you're not expecting from a movie called Clerks. So we give you the laughs, but we also give you something really human at the end of it that people seem to be coming back for. That's the thing I've delighted in so much. And going to Twitter every night and watching people be like, look, I expected the laugh, but what the hell in the third act? And they're appreciative of it. People like to get emotional in a positive way. You know, so often we get emotional just looking at the news or thinking about the environment or what's going on in Washington. This is getting emotional about where you have been in your journey based on these dopey-ass characters you've been watching for 30 years. It's really wonderful.
It is, and it's got to mean so much to a filmmaker to get that raw emotion out of people. Because, sitting next to one of my sons, my son Dylan loves you. He wants to be a filmmaker because of you. He listened to your book on tape, and it's like, don't be an aspiring filmmaker. Just start making films, and you are a filmmaker.
Yes, very true. They're all filmmakers. They just haven't made the film yet.
Exactly. And then, so you writing yourself into Randall, you lived through something again. You had a heart attack, and thank God you made it through to the other side. And we experience your trouble through Randall's eyes.
Yeah, I took, like in Clerks, I think what worked about it is, A, it's about retail and how everyone does everything they can to not work at their actual job. So people relate to that. But I think they also related to it because it was my real life with just names change. It was very authentic. Clerks 2 is a movie I love, but everything in it is made up. None of that ever happened in my real life. It's more like, what would Dante and Randall do if I had $5 million? That's what Clerks 2 is. This movie goes back to the formula of Clerks, so I just take my real life and change everyone's names. So Randall has the heart attack that I had a few years ago. Dante and Randall work at that store where I also work, and Dante and Randall this time, Randall comes out of his heart attack and realizes, like, you know, I've wasted my life. I've always wanted to do something. I never did it. I'm going to make a movie. And so Randall and Dante make the movie that I made in black and white at my convenience store as well. So it becomes a very personal journey, closer to the first one than the second one was. And I think because of that, because the heart attack stuff is in there, that's the hook. People are like, wait, what? He's using his heart attack in the movie? Oh, that's interesting. Let's see what happens. And once I was doing that, I figured, like, look, we're already in the meta world. Let's go down the meta rabbit hole and let them make Clerks. So, like, it's an Ouroboros, man. It's like the snake eats its tail, for heaven's sake.
And I learned why it was filmed in black and white. I never thought of it or knew that before.
Yeah, we get to reveal all our secrets. I mean, I've been telling making of Clerks stories for the better part of 30 years, and so I know what ones work publicly, like being on a stage and telling a story of how we made the flick. So it's very easy to write the making of Inconvenience as the movie that Dante and Randall make, because I told so many, like, charming, we had no money, spit and glue stories about the making of Clerks. They translated right over when we were making this flick, you know. And some folks have been like, his head is so far up his own ass. My head has been there since 1994, kids. I'm an artist. All I do is stare inside and then spit something out that hopefully others can relate to. But yes, I am very self-absorbed, and this movie is to a large degree as well. It's a flick that takes you on the journey of your life, if these movies have ever been a part of your life. If they've never been a part of your life, I don't know what people would necessarily get out of Clerks 3. But if you have ever interacted with a Clerks movie over the course of the last 30 years, chances are this movie is going to make you feel so human, so wonderful, so mortal, but also it'll remind you what little time we have left and how you have to use that as well as you can.
It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt. We're chatting with Kevin Smith this morning. And I don't know if you're a Stranger Things fan, but I know this song was pretty popular. And you just ran up a hill. I just read this in People. What's up?
I did. I've after the heart attack, my kid Charlie convinced me to go vegan. So, you know, I used to be happy. Now I'm vegan. But I've been that for nearly 5 years, and it really did melt the weight off, kids. I mean, I hate to tell anybody who's looking for, you know, to drop weight, but veganism works, because you just don't get to eat the things that make you hefty anymore, man. So because of that, I started dropping a bunch of weight. So I'm down from the heart attack like 80 pounds, and I'm at my adult thinnest. I weigh like 195, which actually I think might have dipped, because now my jorts, the skinny jorts, the ones I wear everywhere that indicate how it was like where I am, and like, are now sagging on me. So when I was home recently in my hometown, Highlands, I go out hiking. I try to hike 4 or 5 miles every day. So I was, there's a hill, Miller Hill, that we went up as kids to go to school every day. And, you know, I always walked up the hill or dragged ass up the hill. But, you know, at 195, I was like, I'm going for it, man. And I sprinted up the hill. I felt pretty damn good about it.
Well, congratulations. I feel like I'm kind of living with a bunch of Kevin Smithes. My husband is a podcaster, Rebel Force Radio. So he's a huge Star Wars aficionado. So the Star Wars drops in Clerks 3 were great. I told you my son Dylan idolizes you. He works at a comic book shop. It's like all my little Kevin Smiths at home with me.
That absolutely rocks, man. That means the world. We need more Kevin Smiths in this world, for heaven's sakes.
We do. And I have to mention my other son, Michael. He's a musician, and we're all coming to see you because you are going to be at the Music Box Theater Monday, November 7th, Tuesday, November 8th. Monday show is sold out, but you will be there to watch Clerks 3 with us, correct?
Absolutely, man. I go every night on tour and intro the movie, and then watch the movie with the audience, and then come out and Q&A for longer than the movie actually ran right afterwards. coming with the family means everything to me. That's how we got here in the first place. My father used to bring me to the movies, and never once was he like, you should do this. We didn't come from that generation. They were just like, see that mountain? Never climb it. We weren't encouraged to do anything. But he took me to the movies all the time, and I saw what it did to him. I didn't know my father very well beyond him just being dad. You were quiet when dad was sleeping. Dad was in charge, except really it was mom. Dad mowed the lawn. But I got to know dad in the movie. You learn a lot about a person sitting next to him in the darkness, watching them watch a movie. And I learned what made him laugh, what made him tick. I learned what made him cry, more importantly. And I'll never forget sitting there being like, what kind of magician does it take to put together fake pictures and make my father, grown man, cry over art? Seeing that was tacit permission for me to do the same. You go on the internet and type in Kevin Smith crying, you'll find all manner of jokes about how I watch Marvel movies and post pictures of myself crying and stuff like that. That came from my father, a man who was like about as guy as it could be, about as standard ass man as it could be. And even he allowed himself to be moved by art. That led me on the path that I stand on today. So when you say you're coming with your family, that means I'm going to look out in the audience for one brief shining moment. Even though my dad's been dead for 20 years, I'm going to see him sitting there next to you guys.
Oh, that means the world to me because I really just adore you. I love Jason and Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, a great podcast to listen to. Just a pleasure.
My God, thank you.
Yeah.
Nobody ever shouted out that podcast. That was the one that we used to help keep Jason clean.
I know.
He hit me up with like, he's like, I'm done doing that podcast. And I got scared and I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I haven't used in over 10 years. It seems silly. He's like, I'd rather talk about something that means more to me. And I said, what's that? And he said, being a dad. And so we have a new podcast called Father's Day with Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes that we start very soon, where it's all about him talking about his journey as a dad. Now that to me makes me proud as a friend and podcaster, because you know I've been podcasting since what, 2007?
Yeah,
we were early into the game. He, you know, has always kind of followed along and been into it, but you know, he's never been the idea man. To see him grow into the guy is like, this is what we're doing now, and taking charge is everything to me. I feel incredibly successful and happy for him.
Well, I am such a big fan of yours and Jason, and my best. Monday's sold out. If my kids can get off work on Tuesday, we will be there one of those nights for sure at the Music Box.
Let me tell you, the Music Box screening we had 3 years ago of Jay and Silent Bob Reboot is hands down two of my favorite screenings I've ever had of anything in my entire life. Chicago?
We love you.
Always gotten me. Oh, my Lord, man. It's crazy. I remember walking down Michigan Avenue with my wife, one like very warm, inordinately warm March when Jersey Girl was coming out, because I was on tour with Jersey Girl. And we were in Chicago walking down Michigan Ave, and I was the most famous person I'd ever met. Everyone knew me. They were like, hey, it's you, Kevin James. And they got the name wrong. But they
Kevin James.
Who I was.
All right, I got to run. I'll give you my home number and we can continue talking.
Let's do it, Wendy. Let's do it.
All right. We'll see you. Go to musicboxtheater.com. Kevin Smith, he's the best. It's 720 WGN.